fear of God implies a realization that there is coming judgment, and that God is holy. And if we see the conduct of Job, even in his prosperity, he would recognize the potential sin in his family, the sin in life, and he would honor God by offering up burnt sacrifices. So this character of him led him to action which showed his desire to deal with sin in the life of family members, no doubt his own. We have that in verse 5. Lest it be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And he offered up these burnt offerings. We know from the many other portions of Scripture that the fear of the Lord is many things. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's a fountain of life, and so forth. The fear of the Lord is when we recognize that He is who He is. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. He is in control of everything. And He knows everything. He knows not only what I've done, what I've said, but what's even in my heart, what I'm thinking. And when I recognize this one, who will be the judge of all, it should bring about a reverence, a holy reverence. And this can guide our lives. When we recognize who we have to do with, it says in Hebrews, one we have to do with, that it should change us. It changed Job. We know that the book of Job itself is a very early scripture writing. There was not much written before Job. And so what could he go on? What did he know about burnt offerings? What did he know about this God he feared? Well, he knew there was one God. And he knew that this God was holy. And he knew that he would reverence him and he would offer up sacrifices. That's great knowledge for a man who didn't have the whole Old Testament. And so it should be for us, too. It's a foundation that we fear God.
I would like to point out as well in verse 1, it says, and one who feared God and shunned evil. So the fearing of God was linked with the shunning of evil. And sadly today, amongst our Christian circles, there are some who would say that they are believers in the Lord Jesus and yet continue on in a lifestyle that is plain and simple sin. But yet they say they believe in Jesus Christ. So there's something, I really think this is a big point, that people are missing out on the fact that we don't fear God. Because if you fear God, you can't continue on in evil persistently. I mean, we all make mistakes, but to continue on in something that is obviously plain sin says that you really don't fear God.
From what I understand is that in many Christian circles, faith or salvation is really watered down. They seem to monopolize on believing Jesus. They forget that first comes repentance towards God. Mm-hmm. What does it mean, repentance? Does it mean that I look at myself, my sins, the way God looks at me? Mm-hmm. And what do I see? What do I see?
There's a great difference between practicing sin and falling into a sin. Even as believers, we might fall into a sin, and we know that we should confess that. But if you continue in the same thing, that's practicing sin. I once worked with a man who was a salesman. I have nothing against salesmen. I don't know if any of you have been salesmen here, but he would often not be honest with customers and tell them the truth as to delivery and price and so on just to make a sale. But every morning, he went to confession. He confessed those sins. But the same day, after going to confession, he would go the same way in his method of selling. And then the next day, he'd go to confession again. This was a mockery to God. This was not true confession. True confession must include repentance. And repentance means that with the help of the Lord, you don't continue doing the same failures and sins. That's true repentance. Now we need the Lord's help to repent that way. But that's what pleases Him. That's what pleases Him. There's none of us here that would say, well, I've never never sinned after I was saved. I never made a mistake. I never did anything contrary to the word. I don't think any of us would say that, because it probably isn't true, not in my life anyway. But if we confess that and repent of it, and then with the Lord's help we don't continue that way, that's where the blessing is.
Mike, just want to move on a little bit. Talk a little bit about the family. Job was blessed with material wealth. He was blessed with a large family, and he didn't take it away, or he didn't chagrin at the fact that they had these abilities to have multiple day feasts. You know, God gives us all things to enjoy, right? All good gifts come from the Father. We need to be careful not to demean the idea of possessions. All good gifts come from the Father. What God entrusts to us, He expects us to be stewards, to take care of it, to use it for His glory. And so his family was enjoying a family get-together, and then it says in verse 5, he sent and sanctified his children. We have some thoughts on that. As a father and a parent, you know, what is, you know, my role in relationship to my children? What is this? What did Job practice here in prosperity in this matter of sanctifying his children? You can get some sense with regards to the burnt offerings, but what about this matter of sanctifying his children?
Well, we're not given the details here what that meant. We know in other scripture passages there's sanctification in the Old Testament meant several things. One, washing one's clothes, taking a bath was a way of sanctifying a person. And setting them apart was a way of sanctifying a person, making them outwardly holy, recognizing that they are not like the world. I'm wondering if the expression here in this verse is answered by what he then did when it says he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings. I'm wondering if that activity was how he sanctified them. I think that might be the answer, but I'm not certain.
Yeah, I tend to think that that is what it is. He wanted them to be present at these offerings. Mm-hmm. So he set them apart. He told them, okay, you finish your party and you finish your thing. Now I want you to set apart this day and you come and we're going to offer some burnt offerings. Why? Because I want you to be aware it's with God you have to do. You know, and I think that's the goal that I as a parent need to achieve. Is my goal as a parent is to bring my children to the point to understand it's with God you have to do. And I think this is a beautiful thing that Job was able to do. He was concerned that his children might have, in their enjoyment of the blessings of God, might have forgotten God and done something to dishonor him. And he wants to bring them to the sense where, hey, it's with God we have to do. The danger we have as parents, perhaps, is trying to legislate to our children our perspective of how things need. And there's a role in that. There's a responsibility connected with that. But the ultimate objective is to bring our children to the point where they recognize it's with God they have to do. And I think this is what I learned in this lesson with Job, is that he was very much aware of the God who he feared. He was very much aware that his children may have dishonored him. He wants to make them aware it's with God that they had to do, and that's what really matters.